呀，感谢主，感谢主。
Thank the Lord.
那今天晚上呢，现在第二次的聚会，我们可以交通到启示录第14章。
Now, in the second meeting this evening, we can share concerning Revelation chapter 14.
因为14章太重要。
Because Revelation chapter 14 is too important.
我们知道，在启示录第12章，那个男孩子是过去以往已经失去的那些得胜者。
We know that the man child in chapter 12 the overcomers in the past. It says, so make sure that they can hear each other so that they can coordinate the two brothers. If we take a look in a detailed way, the church in Philadelphia has something to do with the first fruits. We go back to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation 3:12, the Lord said to the church in Philadelphia, so asking the Thai brother to read it, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name." Amen. The first point is that He says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. So today, the church needs many brothers and sisters who can be pillars. Who can assist in the building of God's church? Without pillars, if there's some shaking, the whole building will just collapse. These pillars should be reliable in their life. And they are clear concerning God's word. Not easily moved. No matter what problems come around, they cannot be moved. The church needs such a group of brothers and sisters. This is very important. They can assist in the church what God wants to do there. They are not passive. But they are one with God's will. The church needs this group of brothers and sisters. They're strong in the spirit. This is very important. Not only the elders, but also brothers and sisters. Of course, as elders, one must be a pillar. But apart from the elders, we still need many brothers and sisters who are supporting God's work. So thank and praise the Lord. In Philadelphia, there's a group of brothers and sisters who are overcomers. We need such a group of brothers and sisters. Without them, along comes a problem and they're shaken, and that's the end. So, brothers and sisters, we all need to have such an understanding and such a vision. These brothers and sisters have such a fellowship that go with the heavens, and the inner man is strong. We need such a group of brothers and sisters. In the past, there has been many shakings and many storms that came through the churches. Without a group of brothers and sisters who are pillars in the churches, then God's work would collapse. So I do hope that the brothers and sisters would pursue the Lord in a good way. The Lord told them, "I will write on him the name of God, my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." This point is exactly the same as Revelation chapter 14. We can go take a look at chapter 14. Here, it also says in Revelation 14, verse 1, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads." Here it says, there's 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. These two are the same. They are connected. Having the Father's name written on their foreheads, it means that God's will and what God wants to work out, all these thoughts are in our mind, in our thoughts. This is the same as what is said in the book of Hebrews, that in the new covenant, God will inscribe his words in on our hearts and on our minds. If we want to be an overcomer, we need our minds renewed. Romans chapter 8 says we have to set our mind on the Spirit and not on the flesh. Each day, our thoughts are on God's work and not on the things of the world. I can testify to you many brothers and sisters who are overcomers. They are witnesses of the Lord. And their thoughts are on God's work. And their thoughts are on the heavenly things and not on worldly things. Now I have to ask you a question. Each day, of course, we are all busy doing many things, but in your mind, what is the most important thing that you think about? Is God's will written very clearly in your mind, engraved in your mind, engraved in your heart? Especially those who are elders. I know a lot of businessmen, each day they just think of making money. When they wake up in the morning, they're thinking what they should do here and there. And their minds, their thoughts are all on the things of the world. But we are all God's servants. You are also a servant of God. All those brothers and sisters that are seated here should be servants of God. Look at the things of the world. What can be more important than God's will being worked out on this earth? Brother Sandy, what is the most important thought in your mind each day? Do you put God's matter in your heart? No matter what you are doing, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, your will be done on earth. And may your kingdom come quickly. And Lord, tell us how to go on. What is the way, which direction should we be going in the church today? Lead us. Not thinking about many other things, or even thinking about the problems in the church, or being against certain brothers in the church. But in a positive way, Lord, for your will to be done on earth through us. and praying for the brothers and sisters, praying for the elders. Praying for the serving ones. The matters of God should have the most important place in our mind, in our thoughts. So that's why the Lord taught us how to pray. Lord, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Do you have such an important commission or duty in your heart? If not so, you won't have the chance to be one of the 144,000. Now, there's a question that we also have to ask. Of course, they were standing on Mount Zion. Are you for Zion today? Many people just talk about the church, this church, that church. What does Zion have to do with the church? Zion is God's kingdom. It's the city of the great king. It's a very glorious heavenly kingdom of our God. Hebrews chapter 12:22 says that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Zion speaks of God's kingdom. What God wants to build is his kingdom. It's very difficult to explain for all of you to know. What's the difference between a kingdom and a meeting hall? Is a meeting his kingdom? What God wants to build is a kingdom of priests. It's stated very clearly in Exodus chapter 19. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The church is not merely a meeting, but a kingdom. It's God's kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1 and 5, it says clearly, he saved us from our sins in order to make us a kingdom of priests. That we would become kings and priests, for us to reign with him. This is Zion. This is Zion. It's too, too great. Today, in our meeting this morning, a brother in Europe was telling his friends. He said, there are only two kingdoms on this earth today. There's the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of Satan, and there's a kingdom of God. To which kingdom do you belong? Perhaps you think there are many kingdoms. Oh, I'm in a different kingdom. No, no. There are only two kingdoms. And the book of Colossians tells us that God saved us, that has transferred us from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So how many kingdoms are there? You and I seem to see many, many kingdoms. Actually, there are only two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. Today, it's not simple. The Christians do not have such a concept. Besides, to whom does this world belong? To whom does this earth belong to? God wants to use us to take back the kingdom of this earth from the hands of Satan. So do you have this feeling within you? Say, tell Satan, Satan, this earth does not belong to you, but it belongs to us. So we actually do not understand how important Zion is. That's why in 1 John chapter 5, it says, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one, of Satan's hand. Who can resist him on this earth? Tell me. If we are truly a heavenly kingdom, Satan should be afraid of us. He is not afraid that there are so many meetings on this earth. Oh, you just have some meeting, have more meetings. He doesn't care about that. After the meeting, you start fighting with one another. After the meeting, you go love the world. After the meeting, you don't care anymore. With such meetings that Satan would say, fine, 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 I'd even help you out. Because there's no way for you to represent God's kingdom. Satan doesn't care. So how can we become God's kingdom? When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He came to do the will of the Father, to accomplish his will. To destroy Satan and to destroy all the works of the enemy. He did a lot of work. In the end, he was victorious. He overcame. He destroyed Satan, who had authority over death. He overcame all the powers of darkness. Thank and praise the Lord. He accomplished redemption. He swallowed up death. He ascended and is seated in the heavens. And there he wants to make all his enemies his footstool. Now tell me, how is he going to accomplish this work? Is he going to use his angels to help him out? No. The Psalms tell us he wants to do it through Zion. It's a rod of his strength. He'll take up the, he will stretch forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. A Zion is his army. It's a holy army. It's an army full of life and newness. Brothers and sisters, let's take a look at the Psalms. This is Psalm 100. It's Psalm 110. He says, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. At verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. And rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. It's today. Your people, who are your people? That's us. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. His army is such an army. Tell me, is Zion important or not? But no one wants to be Zion. No one wants to be a kingdom of priests. You want to be a Christian, but you don't want to be a priest. So what kind of a Christian do you want to be? sometimes, well, actually, I shouldn't be making this joke. He's playing with words. As Christians, 基督徒, 基督徒 is befuddled. Everybody's thinking of going to heaven. But nobody thinks of cooperating, working together with our king on this earth. Now, he is king. And if he doesn't have a kingdom on this earth, how is he going to fight? Right? If the Lord doesn't have a representative on this earth, how is he going to conquer his enemies? So in the day of your power, your people will be in the beauties of the holiness, beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. So we need to be holy Christians. Without holiness, how can we fight? You lose the battle. Before you even start fighting, you already lost. We're not fighting against the enemy, but we're fighting with one another. Tell me, does our Lord Jesus need a Zion on this earth? Do not look down on being a priest. If you are truly a priest and you experience Christ every day, then you'll be a general in his army. If you experience the humanity of our Lord Jesus every day, don't you think that Satan will be afraid of you? And you've experienced the resurrection power of the Lord each day, don't you think that this enemy will be afraid of you? Ephesians chapter 2 says, we're seated together with him in the heavenlies. So do not look down on Zion. I dare to say, if I am not in Zion today, how can I be raptured to the heavens to stand with him on Mount Zion that day? It's not that simple. It's truly not simple. We have to see the vision. We need to be a people with a vision. So you see, the church in Philadelphia is a victorious, overcoming church. They were not only in the church, but the name of their God and the name of the Lord. It's all engraved in their heart. And daily they're thinking of, Lord, your will needs to be done on this earth. Even the name of the city of our God is on their foreheads. There's no problem with the heavens. The problem is right here on earth. We don't fight against Satan to stop him from doing all the things that he's doing. And we just go, let Satan do whatever he pleases. It seems like whatever happens on this earth has nothing to do with you. Just you wait till the beast appears, then you realize whether things on this earth has to do with you. When the time comes and you are not raptured, then you have to go through the hour of trial, the 3.5 years. Then you realize what happens on this earth has a lot to do with you. You think I'm joking? Today, we are his army, his people, the heavenly Jerusalem, God's kingdom, God works together with us and we cooperate with him. We are here on the earth and he is up in the heavens. We have a connection to the heavens. Things come down from the heavens, and we also communicate with the heavens. There's up and down, there's a flow. This is God's work. Is it easy? Do not think that God's kingdom is very simple. If we think it's so simple, then I'll say that we're truly too naive. We're playing here. Let me ask you, is Satan afraid of you? Peter said, no. Yeah, that is why Peter says, no, we're not afraid of him. That's why we have to resist him. If we resist him, he will flee. I oftentimes tell that snake, that serpent, that ancient serpent, you already lost. I tell him, get lost. Get lost. Because we are the victorious ones. Revelation chapter 5 says clearly, there's a lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is a lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes. And the scroll in God's hands with the 7 seals are now in his hands. He is the one who is ruling over this earth. Revelation chapter 1 says he is ruler over the kings of the earth. Do not think that this earth is such that people can do whatever they please. Actually, the Lord is in control. Do you have part in what the Lord Jesus is doing while he's seated on the throne? Why did the Lord say, I will build my church and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heavens? Whatever is loosed in heaven will be loosed. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Don't you believe in this? If we're truly Zion today, we have the authority. It's not in a loose way. Whatever he binds, we can bind here. We have the authority to bind. May we really understand the authority that is in heaven that has been given to us. Whatever he wants to do, he has given this authority to us so that we can work together with him. I hope that through the fellowship tonight, it's not only to remind you, but for you to really wake up. Because your understanding of the church is too shallow, too simple. Because of the effect of tradition. Oh, we just come together for some meetings and that's it. We'll see you again next Lord's Day. Bye-bye. We sing some hymns and we listen to a message, and that's good enough. Now tell me, is God's enemy afraid of that? Perhaps he's laughing at us. They're laughing at us. He's laughing at us. To stand with him on Mount Zion before the throne of God. Do not think that this is a simple thing. This is too important. So I feel if we want to be standing with him on Mount Zion in the heavens on that day, we need to be standing in Mount Zion today. Thank and praise the Lord. So if we go back to Revelation, Revelation chapter 14. With him there were 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And in Revelation and chapter 3, it also mentions the heavenly Jerusalem. That is why this number, 144,000, in the New Jerusalem, in chapter 21, it shows us that this number is constituted by 12 times 12. If you look at this, then you will realize that this number is a complete number. This number correlates with all the measurements in the New Jerusalem. So, brothers and sisters, this group of first fruits have already been perfected. They have been perfected. Do not think that it's not possible. You may think it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. This is God's promise. So do not think that, oh, that's not possible. You have to believe. Just like Abraham, whatever was impossible seemed impossible, but he believed. In particular, when it has to do with accomplishing God's will, there's not one thing that is impossible. But this number is limited, meaning to say that is a minority, it's not a majority. Today, on this earth today, there are hundreds of thousands, even millions of Christians today. But here it's only 144,000. This is a very small number, it's a minority. Meaning to say, it's not that everyone or anyone can get there. So in verse 3, here it says, they're before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And they sang as if it were a new song. Are you willing to learn something new? You know, many Christians, when they hear there's something new, it's, oh, they don't want it. It's too hard. They don't want it. I'm not used to it. For me to learn that, it's too hard. I've been around 50 years and I still need to learn something new. Forget it. Do you want to learn something new? Oh, I'm not used to it. I'm just not used to it. I'm too old. I can't learn something new. It's too difficult. I have to bring an offering to the Father and I have to prepare. Oh, it's too troublesome. Vera, did you say that? Vera doesn't dare to answer me. It's not that easy. Do we really need to do that? No need. That is why, brothers and sisters, do not live in your old habits. We have to be open to learn something new, something heavenly. If you do not learn, you will not be able to sing this new song. You won't be able to learn to sing this new song. It says, no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Do you want to learn or not? You really want to learn? It's not easy. But Dehua, do you want to learn? Brother Dehua said, oh, I'm too old. I can't learn something new anymore. Now what should we do? There's no way we can't learn it. You just can't learn it. Oh, for this new song, not everyone can learn that. But if you want to learn, the Lord will teach you. If you don't want to learn, you just don't want to learn. Then you don't learn. So, brothers and sisters, do you still want to be part of this 144,000? So here it also says in verse 4, these are the ones who are not defiled with women. For they are virgins. Meaning to say, they kept themselves holy. Whatever is filthy, whatever is of the flesh, they do not want to touch those things. Whatever is filthy, get rid of it. That is why in the church, at the Lord's table, we're keeping the feast of the unleavened bread. We want to purge out all the filth and all the leaven. Do not think that you do not need the feasts of the unleavened bread. It's needed. Living on this earth, we are surrounded by filth, by the flesh. There are many things that we shouldn't be touching. If you want to be part of these first fruits, you have to stay away from these fallen, filthy things. To keep yourself far from these things. This needs an exercise. That is why First Thessalonians chapter 5, that the peace of God, the God of peace, would sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. brothers and sisters, you need to learn this. If you see something filthy, something, then you have to learn to say, no, I don't want it. No. Do not be curious. Do not be curious. It's, oh, let me take a look at that. If your eyes turn to look at it, the temptation comes and that's it. This requires an exercise to be a virgin. These are virgins. They're not defiled by anything filthy, something corrupt, something fleshly. They do not even come near these things. We are those who follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, we follow him. We have to follow him closely. Do not keep a distance, not too far from him. Otherwise, the Lamb is gone and you wouldn't know where he went. We have to follow him closely every single day. Don't follow wrongly. Do not follow man. It doesn't mean that we do not need fellowship. We do need fellowship. But the one we follow is the Lamb. Paul can say, followers of me because I am a follower of Christ. If he is not one who follows the Lord, then you shouldn't be following him. So we need to be wise Christians. Do not follow blindly or loosely. And do not listen loosely without a discerning spirit. Whoever follows the Lamb, whatever is following the Lamb, we say amen to that. Whatever is not following the Lamb, we do not follow that. That is why if you read 2 Peter chapter 2, there are many false prophets and false teachers. We cannot follow blindly. Because they're blind leaders that have blind followers. The blind follow the blind leaders and both fall into the pit. So do not follow loosely. Besides, here it says they were redeemed from among men. All the Christians have been redeemed by the Lord with a great price, right? But after you have been redeemed and purchased, do you pursue to be mature, to become a first fruit unto God and unto the Lamb? unto him. It belonged to him. Although God has redeemed us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, but deep within your heart, do you really have a sense that I belong to him? I don't belong to myself. First Corinthians chapter 6 says, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It does not belong to myself. So whatever I do, I cannot do things loosely. This is what it means. Unto God and to the Lamb. It's not simple to have such a sense within you. Because we all belong to ourselves. Look at the apostles. Whatever they did was not decided by themselves. You have to see what the Lord wants to do and not what I want to do. Because I no longer belong to myself. He paid a great price to redeem me. So it means that I cannot make my own decisions. That is why the Apostle Paul said, the Lord would be magnified in all things through his body. Because he does not belong, no longer belong to himself. If you want to be a first fruit, you need to have such an expression. And then in verse 5. And in their mouth was found no deceit. It's not that they did not lie, but no deceit was found in their mouth. It's not easy. If God comes to examine you, it's not simple at all. Can we be like this, that Lord, let my mouth not be loose in speaking, nothing to do with lies. According to the word with James, then we are a perfect man. Whoever can control his tongue, this man is a perfect man. So you see, the standard of being a first fruit in Revelation chapter 14 is so high. You cannot be loose. Is it doable? Is it doable? Is it possible? Let's help us answer this question. God is able, but we also need to cooperate with him. There's no problem with him. He can do it. But am I willing to reach this goal? If I am loose, is it okay if I reach it? It's also okay if I don't reach it. Then you won't be able to reach it. There's no problem with him. He can do it. Now a question is whether I want it or not. That is why in their mouth was found no deceit. We can examine ourselves a little. Because you are very clear in what you're saying, what is in your heart. You would know within your heart. That is why 1 John tells us, if your conscience is pure, it's clean. If your conscience does not condemn you, then the Lord will not condemn you either. That is why you should not be a person who goes against your own conscience. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. They had no deceit, no blemish. This standard was not set by me. I didn't set the standard. It depends on you. If you have the faith, you can reach it, attain to this. If you don't have the faith, then you can't make it. The Lord also said that with man, it is not possible, but with God, all things are possible. So I hope that we would grasp all the opportunities and all the time to exercise to be such a spiritual person. Lord, I believe in your word. Since your word says so, then there's a possibility that I can become a first fruit. These words need to be mingled with our faith. I hope that in Bangkok and in the churches in Thailand, there will be some saints that will be part of these first fruits. Since God gave us such a revelation, it means that He would like us to be part of this group of people. I believe. Otherwise, God would not say such a word to us. I rarely hear Christians speak about this passage of the scripture. But in the last few years, the Lord kept bringing us back to Revelation chapter 14. Because He desires and He wants us to reach this glorious goal. Amen. I truly believe. And I also believe that the brothers and sisters in Thailand, in all the churches, they have heard so many messages so that they should also have such an understanding and such a vision. Amen. Let's pray. So our fellowship will stop here, and you can continue to have more fellowship.